Thank you. Well, good morning to you. Will you open your Bibles with me in the book of Proverbs in chapter number 11? Proverbs chapter 11. Thank you, Brother Andy, Grace Baptist Church, for the gracious invitation to be here. And not only thank you for the invite and for trusting me to stand in the pulpit, but also for the theme of this conference. I heartily agree that it is a much needed theme and that we do need to be challenged by it. Proverbs chapter 11, and we're going to just read one verse. Proverbs 11, verse 30, God's word reads, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." I've been asked or tasked to preach to you today on soul winning. He that winneth souls is wise. The story is told of a group of Christians who had been in prison for the gospel's sake. And day by day, one of the prisoners was being led away. A cruel and sadistic jailer would come and take one of these Christian brothers and lead them away to a horrific martyr's death. Two men were standing by. Two of those men who were in prison were standing by. And they watched one of their brothers being led away. And one man said to the other, he said, "Man, I sure am glad I'm not him." And the second man said, "Well, it could be you tomorrow." And with a puzzled look on his face, the first man looked back and said, "No, you misunderstand. I'm not talking about our brother who's being led away. I'm glad I'm not that jailer who is leading this man away." And that's how you and I should feel, folks. We should be in the business of winning souls, of caring about those who are standing outside of the grace of God. I think about Stephen's final words, or some of Stephen's final words. What did he say as the stones were being hurled at him? "Father, don't lay this sin to their charge." This is the heart of a soul winner. This is the heart of somebody who cares even about his persecutors, those who are killing him, those who are stoning him. And this is what we need. This is what I need more of, a heart for lost sinners, even those who lead us away or would lead us away into a martyr's death, that God would grant them. Read some of the old martyrs of the past, how they would plead in the behalf of the persecutors, even in the midst of great sorrow. That is what we need, a heart like this to win souls. Now that takes some Holy Spirit given love and wisdom, does it not, to be able to do this, to care deeply about the destiny of other men and women who are around us? I'm praying that God will use this message this weekend to burden us to be soul winners. Now the first thing I want to do with you this morning is I want to alleviate your discomfort with these words: "He that winneth souls is wise." Okay? And the first thing I want to say to you is, if you have a problem with that language, then you have a problem with the Bible. You don't have a problem with me, you have a problem with the Bible. This is Bible language. So if you don't like the inspired text, take it up with God. I'm not the one that wrote it. I'm just trying to deliver the mail. Secondly, I'm going to make an opening disclaimer. Now, among this crowd, I don't believe that it should be required. But unless you spend all of our time together saying, "Well, Brother Lewis, I hear what you're saying, but don't you know that we can't save anyone?" And the answer is, of course I know that. I know, and you know, that we can't save anyone. Listen, we can't even save ourselves, let alone somebody else. However, God has ordained means by which His elect children are brought to saving faith in His Son. And that means, the means by which the elect sinner is brought to faith in Christ is the communication of the gospel. Now, if it had pleased God, He could have written the gospel in the clouds. God could have engraved it on every tree that grows. He could have the birds sing the resurrection song. But instead, He has given us this treasure in earthen vessels and has committed the gospel to our trust, and now has commissioned us to go and carry this gospel to a lost and dying world. God has told us that it is through the communication of the gospel, the proclamation of the gospel that God uses to save sinners. See, this idea of being a soul winner is very much akin to God calling Ezekiel to go preach to a valley of dead or dry bones. It is very much like our Lord saying to Peter and Andrew, come and follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. We know full well that without the enabling accompaniment and power of the Holy Spirit, our words will always fall on deaf ears and depraved hearts. Yet God has commissioned us to be soul winners, to be fishermen, to be watchmen on the wall, warning those about the eternal destruction that will follow this path of rebellion. Folks, I say this, my concern is not that some of the elect are not going to be saved, nor is my concern that some other than the elect are going to be saved. My concern is our, and I include myself in this, my concern is our seeming indifference as to whether or not the elect are saved. And God's name glorified as sinners repent and beg for mercy. I'm going to suggest to you that winning souls is one of, if not the most wise act that we can be involved in at all. Now, it takes more than just wisdom to reach the lost sinner. It takes love, it takes compassion, it takes patience, it takes a willingness to sacrifice, but it does take wisdom to be a soul winner. Why does the Bible call the person that wins souls, why does the Bible call them wise? Well, I will say it takes a wise and patient person to ignore the hostility and the enmity and continue to share the gospel. It takes a wise person to set aside cultural differences, racial distinctions, sexual orientations, and varying backgrounds and continue to present the gospel to a lost and dying world. It takes a wise person to understand that the cure for our country is not who is sitting on the Supreme Court, but who the sovereign or supreme of the universe is. It takes wisdom to understand that the hope for America is not going to come flying in on Air Force One. The hope for America is the one that rode into Jerusalem on the back of a young donkey. That's the hope for America. And it takes wisdom to get our mind wrapped around that and to try and work in this avenue to reach our nation. I want to list six reasons, and we'll have to hurry. We'll have to list six reasons why the Bible calls the person who wins souls wise. Six reasons. Number one, I believe the Bible says that the person who wins souls is wise because soul winning is an act of obedience. And it's always wise to obey God. Now, we have been given a great commission, a divine directive from our sovereign to carry the gospel to the four corners of this globe. Each and every born-again believer has the responsibility to be a soul winner. It's not just the preacher's job. It's not just the missionary's job. It's not just the evangelist's job. If you are a Christian, if you are a believer, you are called to win souls for Christ. This is your commission. It is my commission. It is an act of obedience. Every one of us has this duty and this privilege to carry the gospel to the world. Now, there are different ways in which this can be done. I don't have time to explore all of them. But there are many ways through which you can further the work of God in getting out the gospel by supporting your local church, by prayer, by giving away tracts, by getting on the internet. There are many, many avenues that we have to further the kingdom of God and get the gospel out there. And we, dear friends, need to avail ourselves of every opportunity that God gives us as the Holy Spirit burdens our heart to communicate the gospel with our neighbors, our friends, our loved ones. And it takes wisdom. Doesn't it take wisdom to know how to do that? It takes a little bit of holy boldness too, doesn't it? To be a soul winner. It takes some wisdom, takes some holy boldness. But Friends, all of us must be busy about our Father's business in carrying the gospel to the world around us. And I think it would do us well to stop and give some diligent thought to who the real enemy is when it comes to carrying the gospel. Who is our real enemy? It is Satan. That's who our real enemy is. Listen, you may not agree with this, and if you don't, go on and be wrong as long as you want to. That's your business. The brother down the road that is sharing the gospel is not your enemy. Now, he that winneth souls is wise. Well, exercise your brain with me this morning now. Brother John, can anybody be saved apart from the true gospel being shared with them? If someone is saved, then somebody shared the gospel with them. Right? And that somebody is a soul winner. Thereby, what does God's word say he is? Wise. Now, who are we to say otherwise? Okay, I'll move on, but we're going to have fun. If winning souls takes wisdom, then those who are busy winning souls are exercising godly wisdom. Do I agree with everything? Of course not. But we need to really think about who the real enemy is. Who is out to destroy and steal and tear down and rip this world from the knowledge of God? Friends, rather than us thinking we have a monopoly on the gospel and everything that ain't us is less than us, maybe we ought to be thankful for those who are wise enough to further God's kingdom by sharing the gospel of Christ. He that is not against us is for us. Or at least that's what Jesus said. Number two, soul winners are wise because they realize, listen to this, they realize the impossible possibility of sharing the gospel. The impossible possibility of sharing the gospel. The soul winner knows. The soul winner knows their Bible well enough to know that the lost world considers our message utter foolishness. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Right? But unto us which are saved, what is it? It is the power of God unto salvation. The soul winner realizes that I'm going to a valley of dry bones. I'm going to depraved sinners who hate God and reject His gospel, but that's not going to stop me. I'm going to keep on going. The winner, the soul winner knows that the majority of the people that we witness to, they are going to reject the message of the gospel. We know this. But that will not deter the wise soul winner. Amen. Just because some seed will fall on hard ground, and just because some will fall on stony ground, and just because some will fall among the thorns, the wise soul winner knows, hey, there's some soil out there that God, the Holy Spirit, has put the spade in and prepared that soul to receive the seed of the Word of God. And I'm going to keep on sharing that gospel message. Listen, one of my favorite preachers, H.B. Charles Jr., he said this, and really in context, it is an encouragement to pastors, but in a broader sense, it should be an encouragement to all of us. He said this, don't stop being faithful when it seems you're not being fruitful. I've got that on the wall and behind my desk, right above my laptop, so I see it every day. Because sometimes we don't feel like we're getting a whole lot done, do we? Pastor, you ever feel like you're spinning your wheels? It's easy to get discouraged and get down. The wise soul winner realizes that people are going to hate your message. They're going to think it's foolish. But that will not deter them from keeping on spreading that message. The shrewd soul winner doesn't give up just because it gets hard, or just because somebody slams a door in your face, or just because somebody rolls their eyes at you, or just because somebody says, what kind of religious zealot are you? The soul winner just keeps on sharing the gospel. That takes wisdom. It takes persistence. It takes compassion. It takes love. The soul winner is willing to suffer mockery and even persecution because they know they have the only message that will save lives. Amen. It's the only message. They're willing to accept ridicule and rejection. The soul winner realizes that 100 people might throw away that gospel tract. They may put it in the garbage, but one might read that gospel tract and God used it to save their soul. Soul winner just keeps right on plugging along. It is the communication of the gospel. Thirdly, the soul winner has discernment to look beyond the temporal and see the eternal. When you see that person walking down the road with their pants hanging off their rear end and dreadlocks, what do you think? I know what our flesh thinks, right? When you see that person covered in tattoo and body piercings, what do you think? When you see two men holding hands, what do you think? I'll tell you what you ought to think. You ought to think that's somebody that needs Jesus. That's somebody that needs Christ. Somebody cared enough about you and me at some time to tell you about the gospel. Maybe God would have you be the person that tells them the gospel. We ought to think, oh, how they need Jesus. Recently, I saw a post on social media where a man who I think identifies himself as a Christian said something like this. He says, we need to set aside some land far, far away and take all the self-entitled, gender-ambiguous liberals who have committed themselves to a socialist agenda and send them off to some utopian society where everything is free. And one wise pastor responded by saying, if we were to do that, I pray God would give me the grace to go preach the gospel to them. Oh, I know it'd get quiet, but that's all right. Do we care about the eternal more than the temporal? The soul winner looks beyond the temporary and sees what's eternal. I think it's high time that if we're going to say, if not for the grace of God, there go I think it's time we start putting our theology where our mouth is. Put our practice where our mouth is. If you really believe, who makes you to differ one from another? And what do you have that you haven't received? And if it wasn't for the grace of God, you could be laying out in the gully this morning. If you really believe that, you start showing compassion instead of condemnation on your neighbor that is far from Christ. Now, I know it feels good to the flesh to lash out against all the liberal agenda and all this stuff. These people need Christ. Why soul winner looks beyond the external and sees the internal need of the lost soul. Do you really believe if it weren't for the grace of God that could be you? Then show some grace and mercy to them. We are so prone to get sidetracked with the insignificant. We try and argue and debate about things of no eternal significance. I'm sorry, now listen, I may not get invited back, but I'm going to preach. We're still fighting a war that ended 150 years ago. Stop it. Effort preaching the gospel. Stop fighting a war that ended 150 years ago. Now, I'm not saying that they're not important things, certain things that are worth fighting for. I'm only saying that if it's not going to matter 10,000 years from now, it's not worth a whole lot of effort right now fighting. If you'd rather spend your time arguing over the trivial, you're not redeeming the time because the days are evil. The soul winner has considered eternity. What is social media to you? Now, this is where I'm going to get in your business because I hadn't already. What is social media to you? Now, we live in a wonderful age when it is easier to spread the gospel across the globe than at any other time before us. But it's also easier to ruin the good name of Jesus than it ever was before. Now, listen, I think social media should be a source of regulated entertainment, family fun, support your sports team, By all means, please tell us what you're eating for dinner tonight, because the world needs to know. But you know what it ought to be? It ought to be an avenue through which you communicate the gospel. First and foremost, social media can be used for horrible atrocities, but it can be used to communicate the gospel. Last month alone, we had nearly 1,000 downloads on sermon audio. In a month. I have people contact me, I don't know, saying this was a blessing to me, this was an encouragement to me. I get requests for CDs, these things, for people I don't even know. You don't know what God can do when you focus on the eternal and stop digging around at what's not going to matter. You don't know what God can do with your words, your encouragement. I wrote an article this past week. And I looked at it this morning because I got that much pride about me. I looked at it this morning. I've had 100 views on my blog. Man, I'm happy. I had 100 views on my blog. But somebody said, well, that ain't much. You know what? 650 million people, I don't know, live in America, and I've got 100. Well, that's exactly 100 more than would have read it had I not written it. Effort the eternal. Spend time in what is going to matter in the long run. Don't try and argue and debate. Don't try to reform a godless culture. They don't need reformation. God, these people need regeneration. Listen, social media shouldn't be your own reality show where your daily drama is the headline. Share the gospel. And I'm telling you that the soul winner will choose or value the eternal over the temporary. Fourthly, the soul winner has chosen to ignore the criticism and the cynicism of those standing on the sideline. Yeah. This much I can promise you. You try and do something in service to God, and somebody's going to criticize you. No more than our little church tries to do to evangelize and to reach our community, we have been verbally attacked for it. But I want you to notice this. It's not the people that we are ministering to who are attacking us. It's not the Armenian church down the road. It's not the non-denominational churches around us. But it's my Sovereign Grace Landmark brethren who are sitting down doing nothing that are criticizing us. Now, maybe, just maybe, if these folks got busy doing something on their own, they wouldn't have time to critique the rest of us. Too many of God's saints want to play Monday morning quarterback. They're like those, you remember those two old Muppets who would sit up in the balcony, Statler and Waldorf, and all they did was point down below them and criticize. We got a lot of Baptist folk like that. One day a lady criticized D.L. Moody for his methods of evangelism and attempting to win people to the Lord. She said, Mr. Moody, I don't like the way you evangelize. And Mr. Moody replied by saying, well, I agree with you. I don't like it either. And I don't like the way I do it either. But can I ask, ma'am, how do you evangelize? And she said, oh, I don't. And very wisely, D.L. Moody replied by saying, I like my way of doing it better than your way of not doing it. Now, it takes some wisdom and some patience not to react when criticized. But the soul winner will look beyond the criticism of the naysayers and will go on and try to further the gospel. Now, I'm not always crazy about some of the things that we do. I pastor in a small conservative town. And it is a very, very military-friendly town. They have a 4th of July parade every year. And in spite of my grumblings to the Chamber of Commerce and my griping to the councilman, they always have it on Sunday night. And that parade runs right in front of our church. Church starts Sunday night at 6 o'clock. But we can't get there unless you get there early because I got the street shut down for the 4th of July parade. You know what we've started doing? We set a tent up by the street and we give away bottled water and gospel tracts. Now, I'm not real crazy about having some of my church members sit outside while the church service is going on, but I like my way of doing it better than your way of not doing it. It is an avenue through which, I mean, the city gave us lemons, we trying to make lemonade. You with me? It is an avenue through which we can try. We have people who have visited our church. Two families came to our church. Now, they didn't stay, but they came. Who visited our church through that one outreach. I was contacted by Little Caesars. They said, we want to come to your area and give away free pizza to needy people. And they said, your church sits in a low-income area, right? And I said, yes, it does. Can we use your facilities to give away free pizza? We just a free promote. I said, sure you can. Come on. We took that avenue. When they come set up that tractor trailer and give away free pizzas, we open our fellowship hall and we give away hundreds of gospel tracts to people. But do you know I've been criticized for that? You know what? That's all right. I'm going to go on and try to do what God... Am I crazy? No, I'm not crazy about it, but I like my way of doing it better than your way of not doing it. There are just some people who are real good about saying one thing and doing nothing. The soul winner is going to ignore all that and go on and try to preach Christ. Fifthly, the soul winner has made a conscious decision to govern his or her liberties in a way that will not hinder the gospel. Now let me ask you something. What is more important to you? Your rights or reaching someone with the gospel? Now this is a serious question. And I ask it because we behave like how we act doesn't matter in light of eternity. You say, well, God's going to do what God's going to do, and there's nothing I can do about that. They got a good southern word for that. It's called hogwash. Am I saying that we can thwart the divine purposes of God? No. But has God not ordained means and instructions on how we should conduct ourselves in or as members of His kingdom, citizens of His kingdom, in order to reach the lost? See, that mindset is exactly what Brother Pruitt was addressing last night. This behavior of God's going to do what God's going to do and there's nothing we can do about it anyway, that is pure hard shellism. Now, whether or not we Sovereign Grace Landmark Missionary Independent Baptist like this or not, we've got to come to terms with the fact that our behavior has a direct effect on the people around us. And whether you like this language or not, your behavior can hinder the gospel. Now, I can tell you one thing. The Apostle Paul was the furthest thing away from a hard shell you'd ever want to imagine. Now, I don't have time to develop this. But you study 1 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10. And the Holy Spirit uses the pen of the Apostle Paul to chide the members of the church at Corinth because they were more concerned about their rights and their liberties than they were about their brother in Christ or the lost sinner. He chides them for that. They were flaunting their liberties to the point where it was causing another brother to stumble. They were flaunting their liberties to such a point that it was hampering the gospel message. And Paul chides them for this. Holy Spirit chastens them for this. If we fail to consider how our actions affect our weaker brothers, which will in turn, what? Affect the kingdom and the glory and the gospel of God. Or we fail to consider how our actions will affect the lost, we are missing the mark. The soul winner realizes that his or her actions will have a direct effect on the people around them. Now, 1 Corinthians, again, I cannot develop this, but 1 Corinthians 9, let me just read a little bit to you, because some of you may not know this is in the Bible. Paul said, for though I am free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. Is that how you feel? Now, here's how you put a holy hush over a sanctuary. You ready? What's more important to you? Waving your Confederate flag or reaching your black neighbor with the gospel? Well, I've got my rights. That's exactly what they were saying in Corinth. You said, well, how far are you going to go with that? Well, further than you're going with it, I can tell you that. What means more to you? Reaching your neighbor with the gospel or this stuff that's not going to matter 1,000 years from now? Paul said to the Jews, what did he do? I became a Jew. You know what that means? That means he didn't take a pork chop sandwich and rub it up under the nose of his Orthodox Jewish friends. Maybe you ought to get off social media and stop doing that with all your garbage. What matters more? You having your rights, your liberties, or reaching lost sinners with the gospel? To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. Listen to his words. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. We have got to. You want to be a wise soul winner? Think about what really matters. Consider your weak brother or sister. You say they shouldn't be weak. No. But you shouldn't flaunt your liberty in their face either. I really think, and Paul goes on to say, he says, and this I do for the gospel's sake. But I really think chapter 10, verses 23 and 24 are the crescendo of it all. I really think this is where he really hits it all. He says, all things are lawful for me. I've got a right to do it. I know I've got a right to do it. But all things are not expedient. They're not helpful. They don't grow. They don't edify. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Now listen, Paul said, let no man seek his own wealth, but every man another's wealth. Now, is he talking about money? You think Paul cared about money? He's talking about the spiritual prosperity of those around you. What they need. Not what satisfies your flesh, but their spiritual needs. Let me press forward here. We as good Americans are quick to talk about our rights and liberties. But listen, I'm not... Don't run me out of here on a rail, but one of these days all flags are going to burn except the banner of the cross, and that's the one we need to be promoting. You're wasting your time trying to rationalize with irrational people, trying to reform the unregenerate. Preach the gospel. Sixthly and finally, the soul winner cares about the things that God cares about. The soul winner shows God's wisdom by caring what God cares about. And you want to know what God cares about? God cares about lost sinners. There's a trilogy of parables. The lost sheep, the lost silver, the lost son. You can sum all that up. You know, those parables are really not given to try to teach us Arminianism versus sovereign grace. That's really not. Those parables are given to teach us something. That God cares about lost sinners. God, and a soul winner shares that same wisdom that God has. God cares about lost sinners. Does the book not say that God does not delight in the death of the wicked? My father quoted part of that last night. God does not delight in that, neither should we. But that the wicked should turn from his way. Why will you die? Jesus came into this world, born of a virgin, lived a perfect and sinless life, bore our sins in his body on the tree, was buried and rose again, and he did that so that you and I can enjoy God forever and glorify him. That's the message that will change hearts and save lives. The soul winner cares about the things that God cares about. God bless you, love you, thank you for your time.